This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Wednesday, February 1st, and today's pod is just the best one yet. It's a T-Boy.
Do not ask anybody how their year has gotten off to.
I was about to say, let's circle back in the new year. Happy New Year. Jack, what's our first story for today's pod?
Colossal is a startup trying to bring back the woolly mammoth and the dodo bird from extinction.
Yetis, we got ourselves a venture-backed Jurassic Park.
For our second story, Johnson & Johnson has $31 billion in cash.
Not too shabby.
So why did it declare bankruptcy?
Jack, it's because of the old Texas two-step.
Yeah! And our third and final star is Starwood. Starwood just launched a new hotel concept entirely focused on glamping.
Because sometimes you want a bonfire, but you also want that bidet too.
Excuse me, my electric wool comforter isn't working.
That's not fair. It was really cold that night, man. I was so cold.
But yeah, it is. Before we hit that wonderful mix, now that Nick is back from the luxury yurt.
Oh, man, this is just a fantastic, cozy mix of stories, Jack.
Yesterday, for T-Boy Tuesday, we told you about Fisky, fake whiskey.
Apparently, some fireball whiskey may actually be Fisky.
Pay attention to the label. We also told you about Funa, which is fake tuna.
Fake tuna, Funa. Subway's tuna is allegedly Funa.
Well, Yeti, Tiffany Schmidt hit us up on Twitter and just updated us that your sushi maybe Fushi.
Yetis, that crab cake is actually a crab fake.
Get this, Yetis. Over 38% of seafood in the United States is mislabeled.
Uh-huh.
That's according to an analysis from Guardian.
We're talking 38% of fish dishes that are a different fish than what is on your dish.
That means one out of three salmon isn't actually slamming.
That means one out of three cod is actually a fraud.
Yetis, fish fraud is real and it's a pervasive thing.
It is not fantastic, by the way. But you don't want to blame Neptune. You're going to want to blame the opaque supply chain.
Because it turns out sushi is the biggest culprit of this fake fish fiasco.
Because we don't want to sound weird here, but all white fish kind of looks alike.
So restaurants may swap out an expensive sea bass for a cheap tilapia.
Ooh, you're going to feel that one the next day.
And the restaurant hopes you didn't notice that sneaky sashimi swap.
Heka maki, oh my God.
Good evening. Tonight we have one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Did you say blue fish? Was that a blue fish?
Black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish.
Wait, is this actually a blue fish? Because I'm looking at this.
Say, what a lot of fish there.
Seriously, this does not taste like a blue fish, man.
Enjoy your meal. Let's hit our three stories.
What kind of a place is this?
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, because we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
For our first story, Colossal Biosciences just hit a $1.5 billion valuation to bring back the dodo.
But this isn't about Jurassic Park. It's actually about the moon.
Yetis, it was about 1 year ago that Jack and I covered a new startup called Colossal Biosciences. And what did they do, Jack?
Their goal was to resurrect the extinct woolly mammoth.
Well, it's been a year, so Jack and I got an update for you. They're expecting their first woolly mammoth calf to be born in 2028. All right.
Congratulations.
Damn, what are you going to get this thing? What do you put on a registry for a woolly mammoth, Jack?
I don't know, but in the meantime, they're working on their next species to bring back from extinction.
And what is that, Jack?
The dodo.
The dodo. Great name. Wonderful bird. It was actually a flightless African bird with a beak like a velociraptor. You don't want to get in front of this thing.
A velociraptor?
Yeah. A velociraptor.
It's so funny that we say that different.
Exactly, a velociraptor. And this bird, the dodo, went extinct 400 years ago because of human beings.
Sounds like this company is trying to play God, which is impressing the venture community.
Yeah, which loves when you play God. In fact, this company just raised $225 million yesterday at a unicorn valuation of $1.5 billion.
This is the only unicorn startup in the extremely niche de-extinction space. Now, Yetis, if you think this story sounds like Jurassic Park, get this.
Okay, we read the cap table. The investors in Colossal Biosciences include Paris Hilton, the CIA, and the producer of Jurassic Park. It actually does.
Seriously, no joke. Also, paging Dr. Grant, they're going to do this by taking dodo DNA out of a skull that's in a museum where there's dodo remains. And then clone the animal.
Jack, I'm looking at their balance sheet right now, and one of the line items is life finds a way.
So Yetis, this is obviously an exciting business model, but what is the business model?
This is what fascinated Jack and me, because it's not clear what the business model is, but that's exactly the point.
We don't know how they're going to make money, but we don't think it's through entertainment.
Yeah, we're not expecting like a dodo world or like a mammoth ride. Like, we're not seeing that in the future.
You're not going to take your grandkids to feed a brontosaurus at the theme park that these guys built.
You're going to have to sign a lot of paperwork before you indulge in that.
Now, we did jump in T-Boy style to the website of Colossal Biosciences, and they talk a lot about trying to solve climate change.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the business focus is bringing back extinct animals to fix the planet.
For example, they say if mammoths stomp around in Siberia, that could prevent permafrost from melting, which would be good for business and good for the planet.
Yeah, it's a good combination. So it appears from what Jack and I have seen that the business model is not having a business model right now.
And one investor quoted in the news yesterday said, they don't care that there isn't a business model yet.
The fact that there's no business model right now is actually appealing. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Colossal?
Colossal is the perfect case study in moonshotting.
Okay, Yeti, so one of the largest investments in history, it's the $30 billion space race that put a man on the moon.
But since 1969, when we did it the first time, we've only put people on the moon 12 times. That's it.
That's it. Because the goal was to put a man on the moon, but that was never really about the moon.
The real benefit to the space race we achieved was the valuable breakthroughs invented along the way.
Yeah, for example, the Tempur foam mattress, lightweight artificial limbs, the Dustbuster.
How about solar panels or water filters or LASIK eye surgery?
Besties, all of those daily technologies we love were the collateral creations of going to the moon.
Achieving a breakthrough innovation requires lots of sequential smaller innovations first.
And that's exactly what Colossal is really doing here. It's moonshotting.
It's not about bringing back the dodo. It's about the inventions along the way.
For our second story, Johnson & Johnson is the largest health company in America, and it's one of the most profitable companies on Earth.
So why did Johnson & Johnson just pretend to be bankrupt?
Are we going to talk about the old Texas two-step, Jack?
I think we will. But before we get there,
yeah,
Johnson & Johnson, Yetis.
Are we talking New Jersey? Let's go back to New Jersey, Jack, if we're talking Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson is the best thing to come out of the Garden State since Queen Latifah.
Great Yeti, by the way. Happy early birthday. Johnson & Johnson is worth $500 million because the health industry is a profit puppy.
Johnson & Johnson owns Band-Aid brand, Tylenol, Motrin. And thanks to those brands, Johnson & Johnson is a dividend dynasty.
Actually, Jack, the last time you and I covered Johnson & Johnson on this podcast, we had noticed that their stock paid a dividend for 60 straight years.
And their stock increased the dividend for 60 straight years.
Like we said, Yetis, the health industry, it's a profit puppy.
But despite Johnson & Johnson's incredible pill-popping profit prowess, this company declared bankruptcy in 2021.
But there is
is one catch we noticed to the Johnson & Johnson bankruptcy. And what is it, Jack?
Yeah, it wasn't Johnson & Johnson Inc. that declared bankruptcy.
Interesting.
It was one of its subsidiary companies that declared bankruptcy.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just witnessed was the old Texas two-step. It's a sneaky money scheme.
That random Johnson & Johnson subsidiary that was created in 2021, it was created for one reason: to end the baby powder lawsuits.
Yeah, because Yeti's Johnson & Johnson is being sued in over 40,000 lawsuits right now, with damages estimated at $10 billion.
The lawsuits allege that Johnson & Johnson branded baby powder are causing cancer.
Well, Johnson & Johnson denies that its baby powder causes cancer, but it's lost some of those lawsuits and it wants to get rid of the rest of them.
So Johnson & Johnson tried to pull the old Texas two-step.
Giddy up, giddy up.
Johnson & Johnson created a new company in 2021 and gave that company one thing: Johnson & Johnson's old baby powder business.
Ipso facto, instead of suing Johnson & Johnson, the victims now had to sue the new company based in Texas, which isn't really Johnson & Johnson.
And the new company had next to no assets, so it declared bankruptcy.
And that's how they pulled off the old Texas two-step. But Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Johnson & Johnson?
Judges just called BS on Johnson & Johnson and the whole Texas two-step.
Yeti's bankruptcy. It's how a struggling company can deal with a sad financial situation.
There's nothing wrong with bankruptcy, but the Texas two-step is a loophole for rich companies to avoid taking responsibility.
Well, the three judges on this Johnson & Johnson case just said, if you want to declare bankruptcy, you gotta be broke.
And Johnson & Johnson is not broke. Far from it. Johnson & Johnson has $31 billion in cash, which grows every quarter with their profits.
That's like six lifts.
So this week, the judges called BS on Johnson & Johnson and their Texas two-step.
Now, Johnson & Johnson is appealing because they like that Texas two-step and they don't like lawsuits.
But this week's ruling made it official in federal court.
To declare bankruptcy, you must actually be broke.
Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
You can do just about anything from your phone, but some industries, they've just been slow to move.
The finance industry was slow to move from phone to computer, and then from computer to app.
Oh, Robinhood wasn't. It's the Silicon Valley-based brokerage that's been updating apps since it was born in 2015.
Using the Robinhood app for your stocks and crypto is almost as easy as downloading it.
So you can invest at your pace on your terms by downloading the Robinhood app.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/tboy and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Limitations apply.
Stocks are offered by Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Crypto offered through Robinhood Crypto.
All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned by or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood. For our third and final story, Starwood just launched a new hotel brand, Field and Stream Lodge.
You know, the market for glampers isn't huge.
It's not. No, it's not.
But they tip well.
Oh, yes, they do.
$5 a bag.
Should we do a little early trivia on this thing?
The mountains are calling and I must go. Who said that?
That was conservationist John Muir.
Yeah, it's a quote from conservationist John Muir, whose name no one pronounces well the first time. He said it in the late 1800s, and Jack and I, and all of you, you probably heard it in 2020 as well.
We finally heard it in 2020, because we were all avoiding germs as we embraced our inner Henry David Thoreau for a while.
You headed down to the pond, and you hung out there for a while.
You borrowed your buddy's sleeping bag, and you bought some used hiking boots from REI early in the pandemic.
But here's the funny business challenge when it comes to the outdoor trend.
That outdoor trend is all about not being indoors where money is made.
So, Jack, how do you build an indoor business around the outdoors?
Enter Barry Sternlicht, the hotel entrepreneur behind W Hotels and Starwood, thinks he's found a solution.
Here's the solution. Scale glamping.
Barry Sternlicht is trying to scale glamping with Field and Stream Lodge.
Glamping, like glamorous camping. That's what he's working on.
Field and Stream Lodge is snatching up land near fields and streams to build lodges.
Like, we're talking Joshua Tree, Lake Placid, Yosemite. Like, if there is some old timber near that place, they're probably going to get a Field and Stream Lodge soon.
They're actually hoping to build 100 of these hotels. And Nick, how will these hotels feel?
Well, that's the key, Jack, because it's something in the middle. It's upscale for camping, but it's downscale for a typical hotel.
Correct. The first location is going to be in Colorado. They're working on it now. There's going to be rooms, beds, heat, a restaurant.
That's the glamour part.
But there's also going to be a pond on site, So instead of taking a shower in the morning, you can just take a morning dip.
That's the camping part.
There's also a fire pit. So instead of watching HBO Max again, you can share some campfire stories around the fire.
Toss in some s'mores, add that together, Jack. That glamour and that camping, that is glamping, and he's scaling it.
So, Nick, this place would be perfect for you because you would freeze. Well, first of all, you wouldn't know how to set up a tent.
Yeah, it's second, just right.
You'd freeze in that sleeping bag.
No, I would not be ready for any of what you just described.
But in this hotel, you'd still feel rugged because it would feel vaguely outdoors.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't shave for a few days. That'd feel great. We actually did some glamping in Japan, Jack, and we had a wonderful fire.
Have you shaved since, Nick?
I had to call a guy to set up the fire, but it was a wonderful fire. It was amazing.
There was a fire blowing.
I pressed zero on the phone, and then we had a fire. That's how you build a fire. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Field and Stream Lodge?
A niche market may be small, but niche enthusiasm is huge.
Yeti's funny thing, Jack, and I noticed when we jumped in T-Boy style here. One hotel analyst said that this lodge chain will always be niche.
What they were trying to say is this business will only be in the interest of a small market of a specific group of people.
Now, that's kind of a problem because that's not the goal of business, right? Like, you're trying to reach as many people as possible to have as many sales as possible.
But what niche lacks in size, it makes up for in intensity of demand.
Yes, this glamping concept may only apply to your upscale millennial Patagonia pullover crowd. No judgments out there.
But since this concept didn't exist, they're excited to pay to stay there.
Yetis, a niche market may be small, but niche enthusiasm is big.
Jack, can you pass me some starter wood and whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Colossal Biosciences is expecting... They're expecting a woolly mammoth and a dodo.
Yeah, colossal. It is the perfect case study in moonshotting.
For our second story, Johnson & Johnson tried to pull off the Texas two-step to avoid all those baby powder lawsuits.
But the judges just called BS because you have to be broke to be bankrupt.
And our third and final story is Field & Stream Lodge. It's the new hotel where you'll taste the outdoors, but you'll feel the down comforter.
A niche market is small, but its enthusiasm is big. Now, time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Serge Ayino in Bear, Delaware.
Push and play.
Here we go.
Hello, Yetis and Besties. Did you know that the strongest muscle in the body based on its size is the masseter? It's a muscle in your jaw that can close your teeth with a force as great as 200 pounds on your molars.
I think this is the muscle that bulges when you press your jaw together. You know that one on both sides?
It's the only muscle you can show off at the beach and at work.
And at the buffet. Yeah, you work out by eating, actually. It's the best muscle ever.
It's the best muscle. You lose weight and you get more toned by chowing down at the Olive Garden.
By having a burrito.
Two more. I'm working out, man. Yetis, you look fantastic today. And if you haven't yet, you should follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TBoyPod. We're whipping up stuff there all the time.
You know, we hired that social media manager we mentioned. She's doing a great job. You got to check out at TBoyPod.
And we also tease every story every day at TBoyPod.
It's like a tickle more than a tease.
It's a T-Boy tickle. Jack and I will see you tomorrow.
And before we go, happy 21st birthday to Yeti Andrew Hartono, who's been listening to this pod since 2020 in Jakarta, Indonesia.
And happy birthday to Betsy, the needle pointer man in New York City.
And Troy Fawcett, happy birthday over in Salt Lake City.
And happy birthday to Podo, the rescue dog down in Brooklyn.
And a happy birthday to Jeannie Casey over in Modesto, California.
We gave Jeannie a shout out 2 years ago when she quit her job as a lawyer.
And where is she now, Jack?
The COO of a software company.
Not too shabby.
And to anyone else who's celebrating something today, make it a T-Boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock of Robinhood. Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
Jack, rule number one about a kitchen renovation, tell your friends about your kitchen renovation.
We know the cabinets are expensive.
Well, in the pandemic, a lot of companies renovated their businesses, focusing on apps and digital.
Robinhood didn't have to. It was built digital from the start.
Robinhood's mobile-first and intuitive design makes investing a little easier for every stage of your investing journey.
Whether you want to trade options, ETFs, or stocks through Robinhood Financial, or buy some Bitcoin on Robinhood Crypto, you can do all that right on the Robinhood app.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBoy and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Limitations apply.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned by or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood. I feel like our whole audience is going to be like, how does it say Velociraptor? like I did. Or maybe the audience feels like
I know,
you.
We'll find out.
And it's like, how did he say Velociraptor?
This is a charming imperfection. And then at the end, we'll be like, a Velociraptor.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.